Thank you for attending this afternoon. I wanted to start by acknowledging the support of this very talented team of co-investigators without which this work would not have been possible. The photo on this title slide shows a scene of sand moving at a hydraulic fracturing site, also known as a fracking site. The vehicle at center right is a sand mover. It's similar in size and shape to a semi-trailer. The operator, the sand mover operator, can be seen here. He's wearing sort of a teal uniform. And the sand mover is surrounded by sand delivery trucks. Sand is transferred from the delivery trucks into one of four bins on the sand mover by use of compressed air. And since the sand is being transferred by use of compressed air, large clouds of dust are generated. Inhalation of this dust is hazardous, mainly because of the presence of respirable crystalline silica in the dust from the sand moving. I have the required disclosures. My branch and my department at the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health have a mission that is somewhat different from most of the Institute. Many of the people at NIOSH are working to discover and to quantify hazardous exposures in the workplace. The mission of my branch, EPHB, is to employ technology to control and reduce and eliminate these exposures. So that is the what I'm presenting today is the use of a engineering control to reduce exposures to respirable crystalline silica. NIOSH researchers were the first to systematically evaluate occupational exposures to workers at hydraulic fracturing sites, and personal breathing zone samples were collected in 2010 and 2011. These showed that the silica exposures varied according to the job classification. So the two job classifications in which the exposures were highest were for sand mover operators and T-belt operators, and their exposures can be as high as 10 to 50 times greater than occupational exposure limits. This is significant because the respirators commonly used to control such an exposure are often filtering facepiece respirators, commonly known as N95s, or also half-face cartridge respirators. And both of these types of respirators only have an assigned protection factor from OSHA of 10. So any exposure greater than 10 times the occupational exposure limit cannot be effectively controlled by the use of such a respirator. NIOSH researchers identified seven major sources of generation and release of silica dust during the sand moving operation. These included the thief hatches on top of the sand movers, as well as uncapped side fill ports on sand movers. Also, vehicular traffic just kicking up dust from the site, the transfer belt under the sand movers, also sand dropping or mixing in the belter blender areas, and the transfer belts from the sand movers to the blenders, and the end of the sand mover conveyor belt, which is commonly known as the dragon tail. This photo shows a sand mover operator at work on top of the sand mover. In this design of sand mover, there is one thief hatch for each bin, and the orange arrows show the open thief hatches next to the operator. The technology that we developed in my branch was the mini bag house, and the mini bag house is intended to be installed on top of the thief hatches to catch any dust that's being released through the hatch itself. You can see as the sand mover operator works at this location, he's surrounded by a cloud of dust. The mini bag house was first developed in 2012, and we developed a second generation and then a third generation version. The photo at the center of the slide shows the second generation version, which is the one that was tested, and the results of that testing is what I am presenting today. The advantage of the mini bag house is that it's rather inexpensive compared to some other commercially available methods of dust control. It can be bolted on to the sand mover in the field, and the sand mover does not need to be taken out of service and taken to a shop in order to be modified. You can see that there are eight separate units in this photograph. It consists of a filter bag made out of cloth at the top, which actually captures the dust particles. That's mounted on a section of ductwork, which is attached to a flat mounting plate at the bottom, and that plate can be tightly sealed to the opening of the thief hatch. This is a photo taken during the test of this technology. As you can tell, the filter bags have been inflated by the air rushing through them, and although it is a cloudy day, the cloud of dust that would have been present without the mini bag house is absent. This test took place at Southwestern Energy Sand Company in Little Rock, Arkansas in November of 2013. And you can see that the bins are numbered from 1 through 4. There's a partial wall in between each bin inside the sand mover. And during our trials, we were filling either bin number 2 or bin number 3. We collected air samples, area air samples, at 12 different locations on and around the sand mover during the trials, both with and without the mini bag house in place. We used a cyclone and a filter so that we were only collecting the respirable size particles, those that would penetrate to the deepest part of the lungs if inhaled. This diagram is looking down on the top of the sand mover. You can tell the 8 white circles show the 8 units of the mini bag house where they were installed, and the numbered locations were places where area air samples were collected on top of the sand mover. Those are numbered from 1 through 6. Then at the ground level, some distance out from the sides of the sand mover, we also collected air samples, and those were denoted by a letter from A through F. 198 total area air samples were collected. All of the samples at ground level showed very low levels of respirable dust and respirable crystalline silica. This is due to the characteristics of a respirable particle. They're so small that they do not settle to the ground very quickly and tend to be dispersed by wind rather than settling down to the ground. The highest recorded concentrations of respirable dust and crystalline silica were recorded at the locations number 3 and 4 on the diagram. If you remember the photo of the sand mover operator working, he was standing right near the location number 4 on this diagram. The other possible location where he can stand is at ground level behind the sand mover. So high levels at location 4 definitely impact the sand mover operator. We also had some slightly elevated results at locations 5 and 6, but most of the other locations had little to no detectable levels of respirable dust and crystalline silica. So we were extremely happy with the results of our testing. These two box plot diagrams show results for runs when we were filling bin 2 and results when we were filling bin 3. The data points are labeled as location number 1 with control off, control on, location 2 with control off, control on, and so on. So in the runs when we were filling bin 2, the samples collected at location 4 with control off were the highest levels of respirable crystalline silica. And when we were filling bin 3, both locations 3 and 4 showed elevated levels of respirable crystalline silica with no control in place. When we put the control in place, we were able to reduce the concentrations of respirable dust and crystalline silica in a range from 79% to 99%. So we were very happy with those results. It was an effective control for the dust being released from the thief hatches. We took a bulk sample of the dust that had accumulated inside the filter bags, and we analyzed it for the size range and also for the percent of silica present. The sand that is specified for hydraulic fracturing is a 30 to 70 mesh sand, as you can see on the left side of this photograph. That contrasts with the dust that we collected in the filter bag, which was much finer and had the consistency of talcum powder. Most of the dust fell within that respirable size range, which is from 10 microns and smaller. Only 7% of the dust that we found inside the filter bag was larger than 10 microns in size. So we were clearly collecting the size range of dust that was hazardous to the worker. some of the particles found in that dust were as small as 100 nanometers in diameter, and these are approaching the nanoparticle size range. Nanoparticles are more of concern because of their higher surface area per unit mass. They're highly reactive and they cause an increased inflammatory response in the lungs. This is a photomicrograph of some of the dust that was taken from the inside of those filter bags. And you can see that the shapes of the dust particles range from rounded to jagged particles. It's known that freshly fractured silica is more hazardous than silica that has not been recently fractured, but we don't know at this point at what stage these particles were fractured, whether that happened during the sand transfer process or somewhere earlier in the sand mining and delivery process. The sand dust consisted of 64% silica, so the calculated permissible exposure limit for OSHA would be 0.15 milligrams per cubic meter for such a dust. We have made some improvements since that test of the second generation mini bag house. We changed from one large diameter filter bag to four smaller diameter bags, which gives us a larger surface area and a better air to cloth ratio. That will put less stress on the filter bag and cause less pressure drop when the air is flowing. We also changed the fabric of the bags to a fabric that has a dust release coating on the inside of the bag. One of the problems during the test that I reported on today was that the pressures inside the filter bags would sometimes increase as the dust collected inside. It would blind the bag and make it more difficult for air to pass through. We sometimes had to actually stop the run, shut down the air, and shake the filter bags by hand to release that dust. That would not be a good practice in the field. But with the new type of filter that we took to the field in May and tested, it was never necessary to shut down in the middle of a run, so this was a very good improvement to the technology. We also eliminated the section of ductwork that was on the second generation bag, and that makes this type of unit more resistant to leaks. That data from the test of this third generation has not been completely analyzed yet, but we're very happy with the results that we have seen so far. So in the future, we are continuing to look for other sites where we can take the mini bag house and test it further in actual fracking operations. We also would like to test some of the commercially available methods for controlling silica dust to make sure that they are actually reducing the exposures to the workers sufficiently. We're always looking for suggestions for future investigations. And further improvements to the technology are also planned to possibly include better clamping of the unit and also a more weatherproof design. And of course, we're always looking to make the technology more user-friendly. So I'm glad to answer your questions after our last presenter. Thanks.